You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 5. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Welcome to episode 5. One more time, I'd like to invite you to connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Find us at Voice Actor Show. The Voice Actor Showcase is about voice actors on their journey to realize the dream of becoming an established voice actor. We're interested in telling the stories of countless voice actors around the world who are working hard to make their dream a reality. Whether that means they've just joined their first VO workout group or has been successfully booking roles on Casting Call Club. As always, I like to mention that the voice actors being featured on this podcast are paid for their work. It's still only $50 for payment, and I sincerely apologize. Your voice, time, and work are worth so much more than that. However, I promise to increase the pay for their time and effort as my earning potential gets bigger. I promise. Now, if you have an interesting story to tell, and you have not yet made your money back on Voices.com, I'd love to have you on the show. Please contact us by visiting VoiceActorShowcase.com. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from New York City. She's an absolute powerhouse of enthusiasm and experience, and is the voice of many, many characters found on YouTube and other platforms. She started her acting journey from the stage at her school and made her way to in front of the microphone in 2016. Since then, she's worked tirelessly to book hundreds of gigs, written an extensive guide to help the new voice actors, maintains a popular Discord server of voice actors, and runs her own YouTube channel where she showcases her talents. She's best known for voicing Koopa the Creeper from Carflow's Minecraft roleplay, My Friend is a Creeper, as well as Amai in Sakura Media's animated Yandere Simulator fan series Lovesick. We'll learn more about her as a person and as an actor, and hear the stories from her journey from the start. She's currently involved in numerous projects, including an RPG-based visual novel being developed named Wagawa as a voice actor, and directing a visual novel called Synergy, slated for release for later in 2020. Please welcome Phoebe, also known as Harudori.
That is a dinosaur. A stegosaurus, actually. It's so much cuter than in my textbooks.
You look happy to see me. I just wanted to come by and pet you, but I'll come back later. Oh, so you did want to be pet. Sorry, I'll ask next time.
I'm sorry, but you smell terrible. Do you need food or something?
Always glad to help the needy.
Hi, I'm Koopa. What's your name?
Hey, are you excited? Don't be down on yourself. You'll do amazing. What do you say we go eat? The food looks great.
Hello, Phoebe. Harudori, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hi.
This is so awkward.
It's so nice to have you. I mean, it's totally awkward, I know, right? Is this a first podcast for you?
Yeah.
You're going to be doing a lot more of these, I promise, as you get more famous. And you will, right?
I assume so. If I keep going from where I'm going now, I think I will, yeah.
I'm the first one to interview you, and that's kind of like an honor for me. That's awesome. All right, let's get right to it. You are Phoebe, otherwise known as Harudori, across multiple platforms online. Certainly many actors decide to go with a stage name or a pseudonym when they go public with their talent, right? Tell us about finding Harudori, and why is the name Harudori Harudori?
Well, I grew up a huge anime fanatic, as I'm sure many people have. I think about 4 years ago, I had chosen the name Harudori. I do know, I don't remember much, although I can say that it's based off of Tsugumi Harudori from the anime Soul Eater Knot. I remember watching it and thinking, Tsugumi looks a lot like me, and you know, all that kind of stuff. I like it because it's like, you know, Haru is the English word for spring, which is actually my favorite season. Mm. And there's Dori, which is kind of like Doki Doki, you know, like a heartbeat, which I found really cute. And it's fun. It's a fun name for like puns too. Like around Halloween, I say Haruburi.
That's cute.
I could definitely say I have, I guess what you could call two different kinds of personalities when I'm online. Because Phoebe is more of my, you know, my basic online name that people know me by. And Harudori is how people know me for voice acting online and more professional-wise.
Ah. And obviously, we're not mentioning any last names here for privacy reasons. And I respect that. Absolutely. You know, like you, I also grew up on anime. I grew up in Korea. So the anime that I watched was dubbed in Korean. My very first one was Astro Boy. Like, it's known as Mighty Atom in the Asian countries. Boy my size with rocket boosters on his feet. How awesome is that? What were some of your favorite titles from back in the day? Tell us about those.
I remember watching, like, Doraemon and Pokemon.
Oh,
I know they're really basic, but they used to air them on TV every day after school when I was
classic.
In elementary. And I remember, like, zooming home because it started at 3:30. And I remember this one time. So when I was younger, I was, like, a quote-unquote delinquent child.
Ooh.
There was this one kid who used to, you know, always, like, pick fights with me or try to, like, you know, get me in trouble. There was this one time where he got me in trouble and I ended up getting detention after school. I was like so upset because like I wanted to go home and I wanted to watch Doraemon and I couldn't. And I was like so devastated.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
And these stories from the town that you grew up, I mean, you're technically from two different places, right?
Yeah.
So you currently live in a small town in Connecticut, and then you also go to New York City, and then you jump back and forth on a weekly basis, and you have your reasons for that. What are some pros and cons of living in those two very different locations?
I would say because, you know, it's the suburbs and the city, they're like really close to polar opposites.
Yeah.
The difference between, you know, a really loud and busy city versus, you know, a quiet and kind of, you know, individual people in a community.
And where are you now?
Right now, I'm in my Connecticut house.
That's why it's so quiet.
That's why it's very quiet. Yeah.
Got it. How do you like New York City?
I really like it, although honestly, I'm not a big fan of the noise. I think New York is a really good opportunity for people such as myself for voiceover.
Right.
I grew up going to my father's house every other weekend. And that was another really big thing because I used to record at my father's house before I came to, you know, Connecticut. And, you know, it was every other weekend. So it was very hard for me to reach, like, given deadlines.
Right.
Now that I'm here, I have a full closet full of soundproof foam and I love it.
So, like me, the stage is where you started with theater. How has being a stage actor helped you in your voice acting?
I did a lot of acting classes at my high school, and I really only did it because I was like, you know, I can get help as a voice actor here. Like, I really did not care about doing anything on the camera, not really anything live either. And I really was just hoping that doing those classes would help me with my vocals more and, like, you know, reading lines better and maybe showing emotion just to grasp my emotions better.
What specific skill or knowledge or practice that you obtained from taking those theater classes or performing on a stage, were you able to transfer over to voice acting?
Definitely confidence.
Mm.
Because back when I recorded at my dad's house, I was extremely held back. That was one of my, you know, oh, I'm like super nervous, scared little girl, you know, because my father would get really angry if, you know, I made too much noise, whether it was like laughing or just talking in general. I was on the 7th floor. So, you know, there's people above me, people below me. So people could hear me really, really easily.
Yeah.
And eventually I finally moved here and I set up my own closet. That actually took me a while, maybe like 2 months to finally set it all up. So yeah, now since I'm in this studio, I really only hear myself in here. I actually have like asked my mother, like, hey, can you hear me when I'm in my, you know, studio? And she's like, no, I can't. And I'm like, really? All right. And then I continue screaming, you know?
And I continue screaming. I think that's my favorite quote so far. I love it.
Yeah, so when I was recording in my father's house, I could never do the crazy psycho characters. Even though I really wanted to, I couldn't because I was too nervous of my father hearing me. But now that I'm here and my mom says, oh, I don't hear you, I go all out. I'm just all out. I go crazy, go stupid, you know?
My wife says the same thing. Whenever a loud session, she always shaking her head like, that's what it's like being married to a voice actor. I said, I know. That's how it is. I'm sorry.
I think the main important thing is that it's really helped me develop that I don't care if people hear me. Because especially within going into the confidence thing, now that I'm confident, I believe that I sound good. So I think, why should I be nervous if people hear me? I sound good. They should think I sound good. I know I sound good. So I don't care.
And to dovetail just right off of that confidence topic, right? Tell us about the rejections that you had faced, how you dealt with it, risen above it, and how your perspective has changed about the whole thing.
I have been rejected more than I've been cast. And
same.
I'm sure many others have. And, you know, there are times where, you know, I listen to the other auditions for a character and I say, I'm going to get cast. My quality and my voice are the best. And it really does help me boost my confidence.
Are you a critic of your own performance?
For sure. I think everybody is.
And when your critic is telling you, no, this is not good enough, but yet it is, how do you push past that?
There are some people where, let's say I record an audio and I send it to 5 people. Let's say 2 people might tell me it's terrible, but 3 people might tell me it's amazing. And if I think it's terrible, sometimes I might sit, I might listen to it, I might try and redo it sometimes, figure out, oh, what did I do wrong? How can I improve? Or, you know, the people that say I'm bad, I might ask, can you tell me how I'm bad? Can you maybe give me ways to improve so I can just, you know, improve myself and I can do it better so they think I'm as good as the other 3 people do?
Yeah, that's perfect right there. Nice. Now, you've been in the voice acting industry for a few years now, and in that time, I'm sure a very distinct pattern has emerged, right? You're able to recognize and audition for certain things. So what are some of your archetypes? Let's see if our audience here can also guess what your archetypes are. Also, why? Why do you think it's important to know your archetypes?
Generally, teenagers, whether it's like a female protagonist or like a friend of the female protagonist. Back when I had like first started voiceover, I had started developing, you know, like a high-pitched, you know, quote-unquote lolly voice, and that was really the only thing I was ever cast for. I actually remember I had a live audition-ish, maybe like a live direction with the director, and, you know, I joined the call, and I'm like, hello? And they're like, you are Harudori, correct? And I'm like, yeah, I am. And it was so funny because my natural voice is so different from what I'm generally cast for, which is, you know, a high pitch thing. You know, when I first started this interview, I don't know if you've actually heard my real voice before. And I was thinking, I wonder if he's going to be shocked by my real voice too, you know?
Not at all.
Dang.
No, we all work with different voices in our register.
I think that's the best part. I don't know. I have 2 kids, and every time I use different voices to talk to them, 1, they get annoyed, and 2, they start laughing. So
it's like also people think that, you know, voiceover is just having a large range of voices. I know a ton of really famous, especially anime voiceover artists who only have 1 voice, like Shirami Lei. She has like 1 set voice that I've really only heard, but she's fabulous. She's amazing. But she's really just known for that 1 voice. And having just 1 voice can still bring a ton of opportunities. If it sounds, you know, like a female protagonist, great. Here's like 500 jobs you can do, you know? People also believe that, you know, voice acting is the ability to do voices instead of just general acting. But it's literally just general acting, except your face is not seen.
Precisely. Let's talk a little bit about your life. Unlike some of the guests I've had on this podcast so far, who are all like post-college adults in their mid-20s and going on with life, you're still in school. And between your part-time job and your schoolwork and all the voice work, how do you balance all of this?
For me, school has just always been my top priority. Although I really do enjoy voice acting, I ended up learning the hard way that I needed to focus more on school than anything else. A few months ago, I completely just got out of my mind, and you know, I got so many jobs, and I was like, okay, I gotta do all these jobs, and then like I go to school, you know, like that next week, and I like have so many missing work, and I'm like,
excuse me.
So I was like, oh, and you know. But because of that, my time in my studio is also very limited. But even so, just learning that the hard way helped me know my boundaries of doing stuff between schoolwork and voiceover and my part-time job. I've been trying to, you know, cut it in slices, kind of. I'm trying to record, do voiceover on the weekends. Because that leaves me more time. But it also depends, you know, if I have a deadline for a certain time, then of course I do have to get on my studio in the week, but it really depends.
Do any of your friends know that you're a voice actor?
Many, yeah, because, you know, there are times where I talk and I'm like, large range of voices, you know, yeah. I do have some really close friends where, you know, I have a new project. And I'm like, hey, a new project aired. Let's watch, and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I do actually have some friends that don't know, especially like in my theater group at school. I don't really tell anybody because, you know, it's kind of awkward. I actually had someone, they're like, do you do voiceover because you're like not confident? Is that what it is? Like, they literally said that. And I'm like, excuse me.
Slap! I'm so violent.
Yeah,
what's wrong
slap.
With me? They deserved it. Ah, gosh. I'm sure eventually your end goal is to become a full-time voice actor.
Yes.
It might be a bit early to start thinking about this now, but when do you suppose that'll happen?
One of my occupations that I wanted to do since I was young was I actually want to be an English teacher in Japan.
Oh.
A lot of voice actors don't have voiceover as their full-time job unless you get like things constantly.
Tell me
but
more.
I think that'd be really fun because doing that, it also gives me an opportunity to do voiceover in Japan.
Interesting.
And, I started learning Japanese in 8th grade. I only took it for like 2 years. But a lot of people have always told me I have a pretty good Japanese accent for, like, not really being from Japan or studying Japanese very much. So that's another reason I think I could become a Japanese voice actor. Well, not, I wouldn't say Japanese voice actor, but, you know, a voice actor in Japan.
Well, why not? Learn Japanese and do voice acting in both languages.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, sounds like you have your plan.
I'm not 100% sure.
Well, that's okay.
It's an option.
It's an option. You're well known for playing Amai in Sakura Media's animated series Lovesick. It's a fan series of a yandere simulator, right? And
yes.
With episodes receiving millions and millions of views on a large subscriber channel, it's a really impressive item, I think, on anybody's resume. Tell us about auditioning for Amai and learning more about that character.
I did not expect to be cast at all. And when I was cast, I was in utter shock because back then I didn't have a lot of experience. And, you know, Sakura Media is a huge channel. Mm. So when I was cast, I had actually seen the series before. So I was like, oh, my God, I love this series. It would be like a blessing to be on it. I was like sitting there. I remember I saw the email and I was sitting there. I was like, is this a glitch? You know, I was in like complete denial. And honestly, although it was like a huge opportunity, Amai has really been a character that I think it's really brought me to where I am now, even though I never really realized it at the time. It was one of my first big roles on a channel, and it was a huge thing on my resume still to this day. And actually, so I attended a convention mid-2019 in Times Square.
Oh.
And I held a voiceover panel, and someone actually recognized my voice, and I almost started sobbing. I was
nice.
Like, are you kidding me? That was, like, the best thing that had ever happened to me, like, in my life.
So another character that you're really well known for is Koopa, a creeper from Carflow's Minecraft roleplay, My Friend is a Creeper. Please explain the premise of My Friend is a Creeper and who are you in that series?
Koopa is a Minecraft creeper who is one of the mobs in the game. It's just, you know, it's just creeper, but, you know, Koopa has a name because it's female and it's like a designed to look like an anime girl. So creepers blow up when, like, you know, the player is near them and, you know, it causes damage to them and, you know, all that stuff. But Koopa trusts the protagonist, Carlo, and believes that he's a nice guy. And basically, the series is just about, you know, Carlo meeting Koopa and, you know, he may or may not be in love with her, you know.
It's a romantic comedy playing out on the Minecraft platform.
Basically.
That's beautiful. That's awesome. Now, you also run a rather large Discord server where you help beginning voice actors, especially various levels of voice actors actually have gathered in one place. Tell us about your server.
So my server has, I believe, over 1,600 members. It's basically a server for those who want to become voice actors, you know, either as hobby or professionally, maybe aspiring. I've always had like a huge passion for voice acting, as you can probably tell, else I probably wouldn't be on this podcast, you know. And it's been really hard for me to, you know, meet other people and make friends who share the same interest as me. And, you know, I was like, hey, I'm going to make a Discord server because I saw one and I'm like, hey, this is pretty cool. So, you know, I made one and yeah.
What's it called?
We have a custom URL. We have those 30 Nitro boosts.
Woo-hoo!
You can join by doing discord.gg/VA Guild.
Perfect. And if somebody who's listening to this podcast logs on and signs up to your Discord server, what kind of content can they expect to find?
I have a voice acting guide that is a big representation of the server. It's still very ongoing. It's not like a finalized guide. Every single time, you know, someone gives me information, suggestions, or I learn something new myself, maybe from other people, I always add it in. So it's not, you know, it's not like a book, publish, send out, you know, it's a continuously new thing. I believe right now it maybe has about 19 pages, although
wow.
I wouldn't be entirely certain.
It's like its own wiki page.
Oh, yeah.
On voice acting for beginners.
Yeah.
What's your motivation for helping new voice actors?
I know how hard it is to get where you really want to be in the voiceover world. I struggled with that for a really long time.
Yeah.
I got where I am, you know, really hard steps and really the ways that really could have been easily avoided. And honestly, people who want to aspire to be voice actors shouldn't have to go what I went through. So I figured, why not make a guide and make it easier for everyone else so they don't have to go through what I went through? So I did, you know? And writing out the guide hasn't only helped the people reading it, it's also really helped me because writing the guide has helped me write down step by step and going into specifics on how you want to get where you need to be or if you want to know something. It's very detailed on how to get there.
Mm.
And it's really helped me be able to explain my reasonings as well. Back when I held that panel at the convention and I hadn't written the guide yet and, you know, it was a Q&A panel, so people were asking me questions. It was at 10 p.m. Saturday night and there was only like 10 adults attending. And, you know, I think at the time they were like a lot older than I was. So it was like kind of, you know, it was kind of nervous of me, but I hadn't written it yet. I hadn't really helped people much because, you know, it was the beginning of the server.
Yeah.
So when people were asking me questions, I really didn't know how to word what I was trying to say. And I think that I kept missing up on words. I kept like slipping. But I think now that I've really written this, I think it's really helped me. And actually in 2020, I am holding another VA panel, hopefully, if they accept it. And this time I will have my VA guide and it will be more of a lecture instead of a Q&A because I actually know what I will be talking about.
Well, I hope you get there too. That'd be awesome.
Thank you.
And speaking of like public exposure and you being a public figure, you also run a YouTube channel, youtube.com/harudori VA. What kind of content can I find on your channel?
For a really long time, I posted pretty random things on my channel. Eventually, I started to gain subscribers from, like, my random videos, and I was like, you know, I really want to actually use my channel.
Yeah.
So, about, and actually, this was pretty recently, like, October 2019, I was like, you know, I want to use it. So, I started contacting artists on, like, Instagram and Tumblr, and I started making comic dubs. Creating these comic dubs and my guide also made me want to help out even more, because I'm like, you know, I have all this already. Let me give people the actual experience of being in projects rather than telling them. So I created a thing called the Voice Acting Rookie Projects, also known as the VA Rookies, where it's to help people who, you know, don't have much experience to earn the experience and possible one-on-one directions for lines and all of that from me.
Wow. I mean, I think it's so commendable that you're working so hard to help the new and beginning voice actors.
Yeah, I think I love what I do. I think if they can really, really get into it, I think they could almost love it as much as I do. Not that they already don't. I'm sure they do, because, you know, voice acting has just become my life, honestly. At this point, I can't imagine myself not doing it, you know? It's taken over my... It's just taken over. I live and breathe voice acting.
What? You don't want to be a software developer?
Dang, don't even get me started. What is software? Honestly, what is software?
Or on a
HTML, never heard of it. Ah, me, a boomer, though.
Wow. Oh, gosh. Don't say that. Don't say the B word. No. Now, you and I recently worked together in creating a manga dub for Sweetness and Lightning by Guido Amagakure,
yes.
Where you voiced the main character, Tsumugi Inuzuka. You mentioned briefly that you were actually particularly fond of this character and this project. Tell us more about that.
I think, I know earlier back, you know, as I said, back in when I was earlier with doing voiceover, I had always voiced, you know, those really high-pitched characters, but as time went on, I realized I've been getting cast more for lower voice characters because, you know, I decided, hey, I should try and do more of my natural voice for voice acting, because back then, I couldn't act properly unless I had my high-pitched head voice, which I don't know why. It was kind of weird, but over time, I really worked hard and I can finally do that. Tsumugi was one of the characters I've had in a long time that was a very high-pitched character. I think it's actually one of my first actual children. And I think that was just a really great opportunity for me because, you know, I was in my booth, my studio. I was just goofing around a lot during the lines and all that. You know, she's a little kid. She's free.
Yeah.
She's happy. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to be like Tsumugi.
Let's go back a little bit. If there's one video on your YouTube channel that everybody should see that are listening to this podcast, what is it?
One of the proudest ones I would probably say is the Witch and the Werewolf's Doggoween. That was the weirdest title I ever made, but you know, it was fun. It is a comic of the Halloween spinoff of My Hero Academia between Urataka and Bakugo.
Nice.
It turned out a lot better than I thought it would. And, you know, I loved voicing Urataka. I did a ton of sound effects. It was very funny. And I think it just turned out a lot better than I thought it was going to be. And, you know, I really like listening to it. Although there are some times where I cringe because, you know, there's like and then it's like an eek. And, you know, it's like kind of cringe. But, you know, I think overall it was pretty good. And, you know, what you might find cringe, people might find a treasure. So
I'm going to link that specific video in the descriptions down below.
Uh-oh.
So everybody go check it out and leave a comment, please. Yes.
Oh, no.
What is one thing you didn't know about the voice acting industry that you wish you had known when you were getting started?
I definitely wish I knew the difference between professional and non-professional projects.
Mm-hmm.
I would say there's probably been 40 to 50 projects I've been cast for where the director like either like never contacted me after being cast or just like abandoned it for no reason. I wasn't very fazed by it. I kept auditioning. My first project was a fan dub of Toradora, I believe, where I played the female protagonist's friend, Minori, and we finished the first episode, and the director kind of just, like, disappeared. I was like, I don't know where it went.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yes, exactly.
You know, I think the equipment that we use, right, what we initially start out with and the equipment that we upgrade to eventually are pretty interesting mile markers that shows our progress in this industry. What equipment did you initially start out with and what are you using now?
For my birthday, 3 years ago, my father bought me one of those $25 Amazon microphones. I had the InnoGear, the MU-007.
And what are you using now?
I use an Audio-Technica 2020 XLR condenser microphone and a Behringer Euphoria UM2 audio interface.
What would be the next purchase from here for microphone interface?
I'm really hoping my ideal dynamic would be a Shure SM7B.
Right,
and
right.
An ideal condenser would probably be a Stellar X1, I believe. A Stellar X2. X1, I believe, is the name. X2, yes, thank you. Stellar X2. And I'm not really sure interface-wise. I really think I'm going to hop off the Folks Right gang. I think I'm good. I don't think I'm gonna be in that gang. But I think I believe it's called an ID4.
The Audience ID4. Yeah.
Yeah. I've been thinking maybe that, you know, I'm not the best with, you know, equipment in itself. I've never really been, but I think that would probably be an ideal setup. You know, if someone just tells me, like if I tell people what I'm really looking for and why I need this, you know, what I do, if someone just gives me a set list of what I need, great, thanks, I'll buy those. See you later, you know?
So there you go. Any thoughts of permanently moving to New York? Obviously, there's more work and more opportunities in the city than Connecticut, right?
Yeah. You know, growing up in the city and the suburbs, it's made me consider both. You know, I'm not really one for enjoying apartments because, you know, people that I don't know could be listening to me or, you know, my neighbors, or they might file a complaint and then I'm like, oh, geez. I think just having my own house maybe in the suburbs and just, you know, the ability to scream into my microphone as much as I want to is what I want, you know?
Yeah.
Just like me in my studio, like screaming and they're like, shut up!
And that's a sitcom waiting to happen. My neighbor is a voice actor, right?
Yeah. A spinoff of My Friend is
nice.
A Creeper.
Ooh. Anthony Bourdain is an idol for me. I worship him like a god. It's terrible. And he used to do this.
It's like me with Danny DeVito.
Ooh.
I mean, what?
Whoa. That's
what?
Okay. Learning a little more about you. That's And he used to ask this question to all of his guests. Today, Phoebe, is your last day here on Earth. And before you go, you can choose one dish to eat. What would you like to eat and why?
Typically for this, I always say chicken, broccoli, and mashed potatoes. But just for this, I'll also add on Annie's shell and white cheddar macaroni and cheese, garlic bread, pumpkin pie, and a strawberry milkshake.
Ooh.
The chicken, broccoli, and mashed potatoes have, like, it's like a pretty good balanced meal. And I've always said that since I was a little kid, that, like, if I had to have anything, it would always be that. Because, you know, it's really good. Like, I actually, if I have to grow up and I can only eat one more thing for the rest of my life, like a meal, it would be chicken, broccoli, and mashed potatoes. Because, you know, the mashed potatoes are kind of like a dessert. Broccoli is your vegetables. Chicken's your protein. It's like a really good combination, you know? Yeah.
So what are your goals? Let's hear about some goals for 2020, both personal as well as professional.
Ooh, definitely. I want to try and be in a legitimate studio other than, you know, my fully soundproof studio in my bedroom, you know, by myself. You know, I'd love to be standing in a studio with three people standing outside staring at me while I record. Oh, I love that. That's so fun, you know, amazing. For personal goals, I've been getting voice acting. Becoming confident in voice acting has actually helped me even become more confident in myself as a person.
Very good.
And, you know, just losing all this weight has made me become more confident because I actually, a few days ago, I was walking down the hall in my school and my friend was coming up behind me and she's like, oh, I'm not, I was sorry, I wasn't sure if it was you because, like, you look so much slimmer. And I was like, oh my God, oh. Yeah.
Nice. Well, that's great. I hope everything that you wish for comes through, both in the voice acting realm as well as in personal, because having known you for the past how many weeks that we've worked together or whatever it was, you can tell when people are just good people. You know what I mean? I'm old enough to know, have that wisdom and that perspective to say, like, this person is a good person and these people are people, you know? So I think you're one of the good people, and I really wish every happiness and success for yourself and for your near future.
Thank you.
Finally, what's next for Phoebe/Harudori? What do you have coming up? Where do you go from here? And if they want to find you and your work, where do they go to find you?
I would say I have actually a lot of projects that are still in production. There's one of the ones I'm really looking forward to is voicing Raftalia in a Shield Hero Abridged. It's the first introduction to a psycho character. She's like a psycho singer who wants to, you know, kill the protagonist.
Oh, and my goodness.
She's like literally the opposite of the real Raftalia, who, you know, is a kind, brave, and sweet girl to the protagonist and all that. And I think just, you know, having a complete opposite than the original just makes it a lot more fun for me, because, you know, I'm giving the character a whole new feel. And, you know, it might even change the perspective of the character to other people. It's my first role for voicing the psycho crazy character. And, you know, it's being able to showcase my voice in a totally new way. Maybe ways that directors have never considered me before, maybe from my 2019 demo reel.
Oh, that should be fun. Wow.
Yeah. One of my goals probably is to try and make a website. But, you can find me at youtube.com/HarudoriVA, which is basically all of my handles, you know, Instagram, Twitter, also YouTube, you know, those kinds of stuff. It's always HarudoriVA.
Phoebe, thank you so much for spending some time here with me this evening. It's been delightful. It's been a lot of fun. I appreciate your time. I do.
Yes, thank you for having me.
And I look forward to like more of your dubs and your projects on YouTube. And I'm on your Discord as well, so I'm sure we'll be talking about this a lot more. And I'm excited about our future endeavors together too.
Thank you.
Thank you, Phoebe. Have a good day, okay?
You too.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.